All right, it's time for us to begin. Today we will be considering the life of Daniel. This will be our last lesson on men of the Bible. We conclude the series with Daniel. And next Lord's Day, Lord willing, Jake will be teaching Sunday school. And then we anticipate beginning a series of lessons on Psalm 119. Those of you that have been here for some time will know that it's been a while. In fact, I think a couple of 3 years since we left off studying Psalm 119. We were taking it a paragraph at a time. And so we plan to get back to Psalm 119 and study that. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And I want us to read verse 5. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 5. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel, unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." Daniel was a man who experienced tremendous pressure to conform to the pagan practices of his day. Yet, in spite of all the pressure that was brought to bear upon him, Daniel never wavered. He refused to bend. He never compromised. Now, the pressure to compromise was not the only pressure Daniel faced in life. First of all, Daniel experienced the pressure of being removed from his home, his family, his culture, and religious influence. Young people who leave their home and their family, perhaps to attend a college, or perhaps to pursue a career in the military, maybe employment, are suddenly exposed to various temptations which they would never have experienced before. Soon enough, they become aware that they are no longer under the care of their family. The possibility now exists for them to engage in questionable activities without being discovered. No one is there to ask them, "Where are you going? When will you be home? Or where have you been?" They realize they can stay out late. They can become friends and run around with the crowd that's on the fringe. They can visit places they wouldn't dare to visit while living at home. And when young people leave home, they usually leave the influence of the church. In many cases, they are no longer in a place where they can be part of a biblically ordered church, where they will be under the influence of God-centered worship and the faithful preaching of the whole counsel of God. They are suddenly in a place where many, if not all, restraints that they have known have been removed. Many young people succumb under the pressure of the lack of restraints. Secondly, Daniel was also exposed to the pressure of brainwashing. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 3. Then the king ordered Asphanaz, the king, chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family of the nobles, youths. in whom there was no defect, who were good looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, brainwashed 3 years. And at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. What do we have here? What is the picture? What's before us? Daniel, along with other young men, were introduced to Babylon culture and religion. And it was aimed at wiping out of their memory the true and living God, to erase it from their conscience. Now, over the years, secular schools increasingly have aimed at the wiping out of the memory God from their mind, from their heart, and from their conscience. This is true of secular grade schools, high schools, colleges, and universities. Remove a young person from his home and his church, place him where he is surrounded with various temptations to do what is wrong, and then add to that the calculated influence of those who ridicule the Bible, the God of the Bible. And you have all of the elements of potential shipwreck. But Daniel was also exposed to the pressure of persecution. He was persecuted because of his religious beliefs. Now, as we know, Daniel was thrown into a lion of dens. Yet, in the face of death, he did not waver in his belief in God. Now, you think with me for just a moment. Think of the pressure he faced those moments before he was actually thrown in to the lion's den. I'll tell you, many have been willing to abandon the truth under far less persecution. Many are willing to sell the truth in order to avoid just the frown of men. There are those who value the smile of man more than they value the smile of God. But Daniel also faced pressure of disappointment. According to Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, Daniel anticipated that the fullness of the kingdom would arrive in 70 years. Later, God revealed to him suffering would extend beyond that. Look at Daniel 7:28. And at this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me, and my face grew pale, and I kept the matter to myself. Turn over to Daniel chapter 8, verse 27. And I, Daniel, was exhausted and sick for days. Then I got up again and carried on the king's business. But I was astounded at the vision, and there was none to explain it. But in spite of this discouragement, he did not allow discouragement to paralyze him and to keep him from fulfilling his duty. But then, the pressure that I would like to deal with more thoroughly is the pressure of those who sought to bring about his downfall. Look with me at Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Now, this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." Early in life, all of us are confronted with the reality of achievement, recognition, and do you know what the third word is? Envy. Envy. Young children are not always glad when their peers are recognized for their achievements. It's part of the sin nature to feel envious when others are promoted and recognized. When envy takes over, so does the desire to make others look bad in order to make oneself look good. Sibling rivalry is a reality, and much godly wisdom is required to deal with it successfully. What is sibling rivalry in the home soon enough becomes peer rivalry at school. When other students work hard and get good grades, their friends do not always applaud them. They may even pick on them. High achievers are resented, and as a result, they are targets of those who would seek to criticize them. And I want to tell you, this scenario is not left behind at graduation from high school or from college. It's a sad reality in the workplace. Those who work hard and are extremely productive make others who are not productive look bad. Those who are honest and above board in all their dealings with others come into direct conflict with those who cut corners. Those who will not allow laziness or dishonesty and those who work under them soon enough make enemies rather than friends. Those who are next in line for a promotion or a raise often find that their so-called friends become their enemies because they wanted the advancement. It is sad but often true. The very things that make one an outstanding employee also make one a prime target for backstabbers. So how can these realities be dealt with? Well, some deal with it by violating their conscience. By succumbing to the lowest common denominator. Just get along. But a second way of dealing with the realities which we have just described is to have a fixed determination to always aim for that which is excellent, regardless of the cost. Be the kind of person God wants you to be. It is not the easiest way, but it is only the only way to true success. It is not the easiest way, but it is because others will try to bring you down to their level. In fact, you might be safer in a den of lions than in a workplace filled with envious rivals. According to our text, Daniel sought excellence in everything he did. He served God in everything he did. That caused him to be outstanding, but it also meant he had enemies. Daniel experienced the rivalry that is rampant in the workplace today, with this one difference. Daniel didn't work in just another business. He worked in the nastiest of all businesses, politics. There were other factors which made it very difficult for Daniel. He was what we might consider in our day an ethnic minority. And he worshiped a God which his colleagues rejected. Daniel, get this, Daniel was a Jewish man with a high position in the Persian Empire. King Darius, the Persian ruler, ran his empire by putting 120 officials in charge of the various responsibilities. There were three administrators over the 120 officials to make sure they did their job right. And one of those three administrators was Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to the government of affairs, but they couldn't find any ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him in regard to the law of his God." Here we find Daniel not in that den of lions, but in the labor den, filled with predators, watching for weakness, waiting to pounce on him. They were envious and no doubt afraid of Daniel's opposition to waste and corruption, and it would put an end to their sleazy way of doing things. So they undertake to plot to get rid of Daniel. And they want to do so by finding fault with him. Now they figure everybody has a dirty secret somewhere, and if they dig around enough, they'll find it. They thought sooner or later, he'll make a wrong move. He'll make a mistake. If we wait long enough, we'll catch him. Try as they would, they were unable to accuse Daniel. So they decided they would never be able to get him in trouble for doing something wrong. Let's get him in trouble for doing something right. Daniel 6, verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. And they said thus unto the king Darius, "Live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions. O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. You know what happened here? Isn't it pretty obvious? The king fell for their flattery. Now, who needs God when you have a king like Darius? So why not outlaw prayer just for a while? That way we can make sure that everybody knows that the king has the highest authority and that the government is the source of all good. Does that sound familiar? Faith and prayer have no place in school. Faith and prayer have no place at work. Faith and prayer have no place in the government. Anybody who insists on remaining loyal to God, instead of worshiping the generosity of big government, is a religious right-wing fanatic. In fact, he's an enemy of society. And such people are only fit for the lion's den. If you had been Daniel, what would you have done? What would you have done? Well, if you're a person that is not particularly religious, you might react by saying, I won't be able to pray for a month. No problem. I never pray anyway. Or if you're a person who claims to believe in God, and you pray maybe once in a while, you might have said, sounds like a dumb law. 30 days without prayer? That's no big deal. I can always pray once the month is over. Certainly, it's certainly not worth risking my neck over. How did Daniel react? Look at chapter 6, verse 10. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth thee not, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his position 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored until the going down of the sun to deliver him. The king was concerned, but he had to uphold the law which he had put into effect. So in verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of the Lord's, that the purpose might not be changed. Verse 18, the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting. Neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel unto the king said, O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commended they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Look at the next words, dear people. Because he believed in his God. Amazing rescue. Rescued from lions without a scratch. Ha ha. But someone might say, maybe it wasn't God who delivered Daniel. Maybe the lions weren't hungry. Maybe they were just too lazy to be bothered. Oh, but let's see what happens next. Persian kings were not known for being nice, especially when they were in a bad mood. They were brutal to anybody who angered them, even their own family members. Look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 24. The king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Obviously, they were not well fed. Neither were they lazy lions. And the only reason why Daniel was protected is because God intervened on his behalf. There's some lessons we can learn. Here's the first lesson. Regardless of the cost, be a person of principle. Daniel was a man of principle throughout the entirety of his life. In his early life, he was taken from his Jewish family and brought to Babylon, where he was trained to work for the Babylon king. But there was a problem. The young men who were in the training program were required to eat food and drink wine from the king's table. The royal food had been dedicated to pagan gods and violated the dietary laws which God had given his people. Daniel could have compromised his principles. He could have gone along with the other young men in the training program, but instead Daniel made up his mind not to disobey God, and as a result, he had a positive influence in the lives of some of his friends. Daniel asked for a different diet, and reluctantly, officials went along with it. You know the story. At the end of the specified time, Daniel and his friends were in better physical shape than those who ate the royal food. And many young people, getting started in their first job, often are put in the position of making some tough decisions. Maybe the boss will require you to work on the Lord's day. Or maybe the boss will require you to become a part of things that go against your convictions. A young man or woman might be tempted to think, I have no choice. I have to go along. I can't lose my job. But you have a choice. You can choose to stand for your principles. Or you can sell out cheap. You can give up your integrity and change for doing what at first seems to be the easiest way. The choices that one makes in their career early often turn into lifelong habits, either for good or evil. As a young man, Daniel chose to be a man of principle, even when he was just getting started. Those early choices became a way of life for Daniel, and later on in life when his enemies were trying to find fault. Throughout his life, Daniel placed principle over pay, popularity, and promotion. Second lesson, aim at excellence without excuses. Daniel could have come up with all kinds of excuses for not being outstanding in life. At a young age, he was taken from his family, his culture, his religious influence. He could have become a victim. Oh, poor is me. Oh, woe is me. I'm not to blame. It's not my fault, you see, because I was snatched away from my family, away from my culture, and away from my... Nonsense. Instead of complaining, he decided to make the most of his abilities. God blessed him and increased his abilities. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. And for these 4 years, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Dear people, aim for excellence without making excuses. Third, be determined that pleasing God has the highest priority. No matter how important and powerful your boss might be, God is more important. No matter how much you might want to please those who work for you, there is nothing more important than seeking to be approved by God. Daniel's bosses ruled over vast empires and actually had the power of life and death over their subjects. Daniel's co-workers were shrewd and powerful and had many ways of ruining someone they didn't like. Daniel could have been intimidated, but Daniel feared God more than he did his boss. Daniel's loyalty to God under all kinds of pressure was no accident. It was the result of his faithful daily walk with God. He depended on God for strength and for guidance each new day. Daniel decided he would rather be thrown into a lion's den than to give up his regular habit of prayer. Relationships take time and lots of effort. And one's relationship with God is by far the most important. Sad to say, fewer and fewer in our day have the kind of relationship Daniel had with God. Many do not have or maintain a daily time with God, reading His Word, spending time in prayer. And what are the consequences? I can tell you the consequences. No conscious awareness of God throughout the day. There is an increasing distance from God, and therefore there's a lack of spiritual strength which is required to stand for that which is right. Daniel planned to pray 3 times a day. And he did not let anything interfere with that. He did not let business, decrees, he did not let hungry lions keep him from praying. Fourth lesson. Focus on the final outcome. When you are faced with pressures of making difficult decisions, keep focused on the final day. In the end, our destiny is determined by God, and ultimately it depends upon our relationship with Him. Daniel experienced deliverance from his immediate pressures to compromise. But God revealed to Daniel that there would be an even greater deliverance at the time of the final judgment. Turn with me to Daniel 12, 2 and 3, and we must hurry very quickly. Daniel 12, 2 and 3. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And I want to tell you, that's the bigger picture. Christ is returning again, and when He does, the bodies of all the dead will be raised and judged. And the final outcome for every individual will be either unending hell or everlasting life in heaven, depending upon one's relationship with God. God is priority. Daniel walked with God in the labor den, and God walked with Daniel in the lion's den. In the end, God always makes things right for those who trust Him. Now, I must be very quick here with these applications. First application, from the moment we are born, we are exposed to various pressures. Psalm 58:3 says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth." All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. All are born in sin. Even at birth, there is the pressure of the sin nature. It isn't long before the pressure to conform to the world is experienced. Combined with that is the pressure which Satan brings in the attempt to destroy the soul. All of these are very real pressures which are brought to bear upon the soul. Obviously, as those pressures are succumbed to, there are other very real subsequent pressures. This is why it is vitally important that early in life, as many positive pressures as possible be brought to bear upon the soul, not the least of which is biblical truth and the influence of the prayers of godly parents. Let me go ahead and make the second application. The pressures, hear me well, the pressures of a godly home, a biblically based education, and a biblically ordered church are appropriate restraints which ought to be brought to bear upon the souls of our young people. And young people, I want you to know that if those restraints are being brought to bear upon your soul, you are privileged and greatly blessed. These restraints have kept many young people from experiencing the scars which sin inflicts upon the life. But of even greater importance is that these restraints are often owned by God to be effectual in bringing the soul to a saving knowledge of Christ. The goal of restraints is that the restraint of the Holy Spirit will be brought to bear upon your soul. Yes, indeed. May God teach us many lessons from the life of Daniel. His life was recorded by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for a reason. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Use it to accomplish your purpose in our lives this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.